From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 7th day of September, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Gary Schnitke will be here to discuss cash rents, past and future. And then we'll take a look at how Ed Usset views the marketplace. Slightly different. He wonders really whether there will be an early fall low or whether it's just the start of a slide downward for both the corn and the soybean markets. We'll talk about that with him. He's from the University of Minnesota, and we'll do it all right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn finished at $5.10¾, down 13¼ today. March down 12¾ at $5.20½. Of the May, 12 lower at $5.26¾. November beans at $12.77, down 15. The January, $12.86¾. 14½ lower. The bean meal down $3.20. The bean oil, $1.28 lower. And wheat futures for the soft red, December at $7.19¾, down 6½. The hard red at $7.17½, 5½ cents lower. Live cattle futures up a dollar, rather down a dollar and a nickel at $123.75. Feeders were off $2.42½ at $160 and a nickel. And lean hogs at $88.10 were down $1.47½ for this Tuesday afternoon. On this Tuesday, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, joins us to talk about a down day, especially for corn in Chicago. Wayne, thank you very much. I guess we can't call it a turnaround Tuesday unless yesterday was supposed to be up, and we just skipped it.
We skipped it.
Not a very pretty day in Chicago. Tell me about what happened with the corn market.
You know, we've got a report coming on Friday, and I think we saw some liquidation trying to just take some risk off the table. It was a technical-driven sell-off here today. The expectations the USDA is going to will raise the crop estimates because of looking at the FSA numbers and the crop numbers that way from the insurance company from RMA. So those come out. They generally don't come out where they come out, but they generally increase as the month goes on. I'm not sure they will. I think that with the electronic transfer by most agents now in the crop insurance business and the way that everybody was sort of pushed to get their FSA numbers in timely this year, that they might have just been able to total them up a little sooner than they were. But, you know, as we looked across the board, the global commodity markets were all softer across there. You know, so everything just was a risk-off day today.
Yeah, looking at some of the numbers that are due out on Friday from those USDA reports, the trade now thinks that the corn might come in at around 175.8 bushels to the acre. USDA, of course, at 174.6 at this point. And they put the soybean yield at 50.4. It's the ending stocks, really, that make a big difference, I suppose, though. This year's and next year's aren't very different for the 21-22, or the crop year we're just about to harvest. Corn at $1.242 billion coming in for the carry-in at $1.117. Soybeans for next year, by the time we get to fall, at 155 million bushels. And that's just 5 million below the 160 at this point. I'm always interested to see what you think that means in terms of price going forward. USDA, the last time around, increased prices. If we come up with these numbers, which aren't too far off last, the August figures from USDA, can we make a $5.75 average cash price for corn?
You know, we're going to have to see a little bit of buying come out of China for that. And I think some going on. We've got a lot of hesitancy right now because of what's happened at the Gulf with no markets coming out there. And, you know, they'd like to be buying some on these dips, and there's just no actual cash market to buy down there because they're not putting any bids out till they can get an assessment to see if they can run, unload barges and load ships. So, you know, it's sort of, that's one of the things that's going against us here right now. I do think that, you know, China has made the comment they're not going to buy as much corn this year because of their harvest and the way that they've used some other substitutes for corn like barley and wheat and things like that. But right now, corn at the U.S. is basically under feed wheat, so we're thinking we can come up with that. You know, what we're looking at, it's going to be a big deal on what we actually see come out of the field. But for right now, boy, all those basis levels have dropped like a rock in the last 10 days here and down at the Gulf both.
Is that telling producers, hey, just keep it in the bin if you can? We have enough to make the export need, even when it opens back up, and it's time to really just close the bin door on this and wait it out?
Well, that's what they're trying to tell us with the bases. We're also hearing that they're being very, very tough on their limitations of what moisture they'll take and any amount of damage, if there is any, that way, and test weight also. So, you know, there are pushing more for the farmer to store or dry this crop down before they bring it in. So, you know, just a lot of stuff. You know, when we were just a week ago, we were talking about bases that were maybe $60 to $1 over in certain places for maybe a 3-year quick day bid. And now we're going back to usual harvest basis levels. So for right now, we're sort of in a rut, and it does say sort of hold things. Now, you know, as we look at it, the 200-day moving average comes in on D's corn at 503.5. That's generally a big number. Support is at 507.5 and $5.25. And we have to see that we don't break through that $5 on a closing basis here this week before we get into the report.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Hey, have you signed up for the Farm Doc Team's webinar series this fall? It kicked off last Thursday and will continue this Thursday and several more after that. Talking about this Thursday, carbon markets, and the following one, the price of grain. If you've not signed up yet, you can just go to willag.org, willag.org. Scroll down the page until you find the calendar and look for the red lines on Thursday at 11 o'clock. Get yourself signed up for the webinar. Once you're signed up for one, you're signed up for all of them automatically, and you'll just get an email to tell you and remind you to show up for the webinar on Thursday mornings at 11 o'clock. Again, this week we'll talk about carbon markets. Next week we'll talk about the price of grain. Others to follow. It's part of the Farm Doc Team, the Ag Economist here on campus, outreach to the community, and we sure would love to have you join us again. Register for free online right now today in the calendar at willag.org. Look for the webinar series at 11 o'clock on Thursday mornings. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Gary Schnitke now joins us to talk about his latest offering on the Farm Doc Daily website. He has penned an article related to cash rents for 2022. That deals with some information that came from 2021. So let's start there. Where did you begin?
So we started out with just average cash rents in Illinois. And in 2021, the average cash rent for Illinois was reported at $227 per acre. And that was up from a year earlier level by $5 per acre. So we saw an increase overall. Overall the state.
But this figure is not that far off of what we've seen since 2014 or so?
No. So, you know, we've been sort of at this plateau level since roughly 2017. You know, like, for example, in 2018, cash rents in Illinois were $224 per acre. And today they're $227 per acre, so not much change. The highest cash rent in Illinois was set in 2014 for the whole state, $234 per acre. So we're still below the high set in 2014 by $7 per acre.
Those, however, that number is low if you live in central Illinois, where the highest cash rents are paid annually. What do some of those numbers look like?
Yeah, so if you look across Illinois, and again, these are USDA numbers, our highest cash rents are in central Illinois, average cash rents, and our highest cash rent actually is Macon County, $311 per acre. So that's considerably above that average for the state. But if you go around the center part of the state, there's quite a few higher cash rents. $297 per acre covers Piatt County and Douglas County. If you go west a bit, Sangamon County has a $280 cash rent, and And Logan County has a $291 cash rent. So all that sort of in the $300 an acre.
And that differs wildly from the deep southern Illinois cash rents.
Yes. If you go down into southern Illinois, we have lower cash rents. And again, these are average cash rents by county. Washington County, for example, has $129 per acre cash rent. Our lowest cash rent in the state is $52 per acre, which is Pope County. So,
how does this differ by soil productivity index or some other unit you might find?
Yeah, we related those rents to county productivity indexes, and these are the ones that were often used to measure soil productivity. If you go to Acre Value on Granular's website, you can locate a farm and find its soil productivity index. There's a very high correlation. There's a 0.9 correlation between those county cash rents and the soil productivity index. There is a bit of variability across the state from that. And some CRDs, crop reporting districts, have higher and some a little bit lower than that soil productivity index. But that soil productivity index does a reasonably good job of explaining the cash rents across the state.
How about the difference between the average cash rent and that with professionally managed properties?
Yeah, so if we're looking at professionally managed properties, and this is based on a survey done by Illinois Society of Professional Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers, in 2021, if we look at all those counties that have a soil productivity index above 133, their average cash rent was $277 per acre. The professionally managed farmland is $315 per acre. So, you know, roughly $35, $40 higher than the average. So professionally managed land typically has higher rents than the average.
What's it look like for the coming year?
Yeah, so we asked, the Illinois Society asked that, and they're expecting overall 11% increases in farmland or cash rents over the next year. So if the $315 in 2021 would go to $350 in 2022. So pretty sizable increases in cash rents expected for 2022. And given what we've seen in farmland returns, you sort of expect a rising cash rent. Having said that, if we go back to, you know, those sort of those prices from 2014 to 2019, those cash rents would result in negative returns to the farmer because of those lower prices, rising non-land costs, and much of our income in those years were based on ad hoc federal payments, which obviously aren't scheduled for 2022.
Anything that you have in the way of advice for producers to manage this risk?
Yeah, so I personally like leases that vary payments with economic conditions. So share rents and variable cash rents would be something to consider as we're moving forward. Variable, either one of those would make pretty large payments to the landowner in 2021 because of higher prices and what looks to be higher yield or good yields across much of the state, above trend yields, maybe near record yields. So, variable cash leases and shared rental arrangements.
Both of which allow the landlord and the farmer to share in either big profits or to manage risk in low income years.
That's exactly right. And you don't have to negotiate those leases every year. They adjust to the economic conditions.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Todd.
Gary Schnicki is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. On this Tuesday, let's check the weather forecast with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thank you, Don, for being with us today. We had just a fantastic week at the Farm Progress Show last week. We got a little rain over the weekend here, which was not unexpected and felt actually pretty nice. And I think we're in for some dry weather But you can tell me that in just a bit. Why don't you start on the West Coast, where they're still battling wildfires and such, and make your way this way?
Well, there's a little bit of good news. I don't think it's a situation to where it's going to have a huge difference on the current situation, but there is going to be a system later this week and into the weekend moving into Washington, Oregon, and parts of Northern California, and there will be some rain showers, especially for Oregon and maybe some of the Sierras of California. So will it be enough to put the fires out? No, but it will be a little help with some cooler temperatures, a few showers, and some higher relative humidity. But those far western areas of the United States, you know, this time of year usually is not very wet, but at least there's a little bit of rain in the forecast, and that's something we haven't been able to say in a while.
And if you get to the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, they had, I think, cooled down. Can you tell me a little bit about conditions? And they've gotten rainfall. How things changed recently there?
Well, it really has been a much different scenario over the last 6 weeks in that northern and northwest Corn Belt. Minnesota, portions of Iowa, and the eastern areas of the Dakotas, it took all season to finally get some decent rains, and they've seen it. And those are the areas, you know, especially North Dakota, parts of Minnesota, that I see some shower and thunderstorm activity. You know, that's one area that I do see this week will have some chances for some measurable rainfall, especially those northern areas. But you get a little bit further east into Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, eastern areas in Nebraska. Yeah, there's a couple of opportunities for a little bit of shower activity, but for the most part, the next week ahead, we don't see any significant amounts of rain.
And then moving into the southeast and the Delta regions.
Well, there is going to be some shower and thunderstorm activity along the Gulf Coast. This will be especially true across Florida, Georgia, parts of Alabama, and there's a tropical disturbance, and we don't think it's going to become a major player, but there is going to be some rain along that Gulf Coast area over the next week or so. Some of that moisture will get up into the Carolinas, but for Missouri, Arkansas, Tennessee, those areas, they're going to see drier weather conditions, while the moisture is going to be more towards the coastal areas.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. On this Tuesday, Ed Usset from the University of Minnesota joins us. He's a grain marketing specialist. Ed, thank you for being with us. Interesting times in the marketplace as we go into the harvest season. It usually is. However, in the eastern part of the Corn Belt, where there is generally a good crop, farmers have lots of decisions to make, although they've made a few of them. What have you been watching for corn lately?
Well, I'm watching the price as everyone else is. You watch price, but I also watch spreads, Todd. Very underrated way of looking at the market. And fundamentally strong markets have spreads that are either the carries are collapsing or the inverses are getting larger. Fundamentally weak markets, just the opposite. You see spreads getting larger, more carry coming into the market. And I'm looking at the corn market, and we have a sense of where it's gone. Generally, I mean, prices, even as we speak, December corn at 510, we're not going to call that a cheap price, but of course we were over $6 at times in the last 4 or 5 months. So we're off from our highs. But what I notice in the corn market, spreads December to July, December 21 to July of 22 next year. That got at the peak of the corn market, got to even money, which is, you know, corn market likes to show carries, and even money is odd. This morning, boy, I have to look at it right now to see where it is right now. I believe it was showing 16 and a half cents this morning, carry, and which is large, pretty much as large a carry as we've had since, a year ago at this time. So carries have come back in the corn market. They've come back in the soybean market, the November-July spread, which all year has been inverted. The November 21 contract higher than the July of 22, as a 40, 50, 60 cent inverse is now a 24-cent carry. That's not the sign of a strong market. That's not the sign of a strong market. So I'm a little wary of the people who are calling for an early low in the markets. You know, we're going to have an early low. That happens at times, happens more often than we think. And yet I'm not buying it just yet. Watching those spreads, I'm not buying it.
What do you see in basis?
Basis is has been strong all summer, but not, you know, in our neck of the woods anyway, not all that impressive given the size of the carryout and so on. It's a good basis. Let's not run away from that. But we haven't got an inverse or anything like that going on. And new crop basis is strong. It's good, but maybe a good sign to make a harvest sale.
Well, let me ask a question that's related to all of these and what farmers may want to do. Might it be, and this would be also for those who are calling for an early low in the marketplace, but might it be that the market says there's enough sold up front that we really do not need producers to bring corn to town, and we just as soon send the signal to them that they should store it even at this high price, so we put carry back in the market and higher prices may return later?
Not a bad scenario you're laying out there. Pretty good one. I suspect a lot of elevators do have grain bought. I mean, there have been a lot of opportunities to make early sales. You got to believe a number of producers have done so. And if they didn't start too early in this year, they're probably pretty happy about those early sales right now. And yeah, you've got a good point there. That there's a modest and not a great incentive, but a decent incentive to store grain and hope for something better in the new year.
But the marketplace is telling you it's weak.
Yes, the spreads indicate to me that this is not necessarily an early low. That we're waiting. You know, we've been on the defensive now for a few weeks. The last good market we had was after the August report. We had a great spike, and we're fighting and trending lower since then. We're not below $5 in Dease corn. That's a nice thing. That we'd like to hold that $5 mark, but we're too close for comfort right now.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Todd, you take care.
I will. You too. That is Ed Ossett. He's an agricultural economist, a grain market specialist at the University of Minnesota, and came to us on this Tuesday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.